active fireman on duty, Tyler Young.
All right. How are y'all doing today? There we go. I think someone said alive. I'm there. I have not taught, I guess I haven't taught this year. Last time I think I taught, I was in December. Life has been absolutely crazy with me and my wife and kids. Shelby's sitting over there. As you can tell, I was just laughing earlier. She is in a beautiful purple outfit with green shoes. It looks amazing. And then, like, this is the first shirt that was in my closet, my jeans, you know, and then these shoes are the only shoes I wear outside not working out. Like, this is it. So if you're like, I think you wore that shirt last time, it happens weekly. Like, you know, like, I have plenty of shirts. My wife gets amazing shirts. I just choose the shirts I like. And they're on repeat. I've got like seven of this shirt, just different colors. But so like I said, my name's Tyler. I've been going here a long time. I'm associate pastor here. Like he said, I work at Jacksonville Fire Department, lieutenant paramedic there. Love my job. You know, 90% of my job is harassing and making fun of new people. No, I'm just kidding. I've toned that down. The Lord spoke to me about that, right? But like I'm at a place now to where I get to pour into people's lives more. And so it is absolutely an amazing job for me, getting to impact people through the way I walk my life in my job. God's allowed me, we'll have dinner table discussions about things people believe, and people come and ask me questions. And just amazing. I'm so blessed in that. But for the first part of this year, like I said, I've been busy working. This year, I have done, there was at the gym I go to, a workout little competition thing they do every year, and got absolutely destroyed in it. You know, did not do well. And then, I ran a half marathon because my sister came to me last year. I was like, hey, let's do a half marathon. And then Shelby and Mr. Keith did it too. And, like a seasoned veteran I am, I did not train at all. I ran like twice this year. And the whole story is actually, I guess I'll tell part of the story because I got time. But the whole story is really funny. Like, I did not train. I did everything you shouldn't do. My pre-run meal for the day was 3 oatmeal cookies. And when you say mile 8, I realized that was a terrible decision. Because it hit me, and I was looking for a bathroom quick. And so, thankfully, they're all over there. Whew. The Lord provided there was one close. But it was not good. Like, it just was not good. I did not set myself up for success. But so I did that this year. It was really, really awesome event. And actually, something God really worked on me started at that point. And I would like to say it's through the dedication I put into training and just my focus. That was not it. As I went to run the race, there's thousands of people there. And I look around, and there's people that have trained, and they're serious about it. And then there's people that I see that I'm like, I hope they'll be okay. Like, you're like wondering if they're going to make it. But it was wild. So many of them, as I'm running this race, there's tables of people, like, the whole time there's tables, people cheering you on, little signs and stuff. It was so amazing. And then as I got to the end, I see people around me, like, I didn't train, and I was just doing it for fun. So I wasn't really emotional across the finish line, and they gave me pasta. I was so happy, you know. And then I'm looking around, these people are crying and just broken, just weeping and crossing it. And I got done, and Mr. Keith and Shelby were coming up, so I went and was cheering them on. And the whole atmosphere was amazing, right? And so not only were people, like, cheering people on to do, you got this, the whole way, the whole entire way, but also it was, like, as you're watching people cross this finish line, not only is it people crossing it who didn't think they could do it probably the year before, but also they're crossing it, and it's like the full, you're seeing the fruition of a dream, right? You're seeing people see things that they saw that they weren't sure about, and they're seeing it through. And as I was watching that, I realized, you know, not only is there's dreams in our lives and things that I believe that God places on us that we want to see happen. We have dreams and visions for a reason. And so to stand there and see hundreds of people complete a dream or a vision they had for their life, that was incredible. They had the half marathon and full marathon. And so these people are just, and let me tell you, they aren't all running, right? There's a lot of people walking. And actually, some relatives of me and Shelby's, we were standing there and they were walking, and like they came through, and it was incredible, like getting to see them do that. And they were so happy, people cheering them on. I didn't even know people. People were handing me food as I'm going. Let me tell you, mile 12, somebody handed me a Jolly Rancher. Best Jolly Rancher I ever had in my life, guys. Like, it got me through. I'm like thinking, oh, I could just lay down on the curb and like, you know, lay down and just pray that I survive. And then this lady had a bowl of Jolly Ranchers, and I grabbed that thing, made it through. That's what got me, right? But like getting to see these people cross this finish line, and then not only that, but the people around them cheering them on and just encouraging them. Guys, that was so incredible to see. It was so incredible to see people fulfill things on their heart and dreams and that they wanted to accomplish. And then to have people they didn't even know there just screaming and yelling and cheering. It was incredible. And then, like, also with those tables, and they were giving out food and stuff, that's like thousands of dollars they were just giving away. Like, some of these things they were giving away were like $2 a pop, and they're just handing them out, and there's thousands of people. Like, they were all about encouraging people. They wanted to see people, and these people weren't at the finish line. These people were mid-race handing out snacks. These people were at, you know, they were well far away from seeing these people finish, but they literally just encouraged and pushed them along. And it was so incredible. And as I'm watching this, I realized, and I think this is going to be like a two-part thing, but I realized the importance of grabbing hold of those dreams, right? There's dreams in my life that I still hold tightly on, that I want to see family members. I want to see Cabot schools impacted. I want to see our youth to be raised up to be powerful men and women of God who walk in power and authority, and who know they know who they are, whose they are, and what they're supposed to do. And so I have these dreams, and it's the importance of those, it was highlighted then. And so just over the last, ever since that race, over the last probably about month, God's been really speaking to me about this. And what he's been telling me, not only is it important, but he's been kind of showing me where we get off track with those, right? And so what I feel like God's speaking to us, and it, I guess the next time I teach, I'll teach on the second part of this, but it's seeing dreams fulfilled and championing people, which means encouraging people or pushing people to see their dreams as well. I want to be a person who I believe in the dreams of God, and I believe that he can accomplish those. And not only that, but the people around me, I want to encourage them to accomplish what they're called to, right? Like I said, my wife did the half marathon, and it was fun racing and getting the they give you a little medal, and that was all awesome. But you know what was incredible is getting to go back out there and getting to cheer on Shelby and our family members to cross, and just getting to see them accomplish something. That was just as fulfilling, if not more, for me to see her accomplish something that she's done it right, guys. She put time in. Like, she practiced. She did, like, before the race, I think I had ran 7 miles. It's 13. The race day, I had a fanny pack with Welch's gummies in it, and all these people have $100 outfit rigs, and I've got a fanny pack that they gave away for free. Like, you know, I was not prepared. And so getting to see her accomplish this, it was so powerful. And so what I want to tackle today is dreams. And I think so much of the time, especially in at times in the world we're in, that dreams can be almost pushed off to the side. You know, we can have this dream, I can have this vision, this desire of my heart, but like the world around me doesn't portray that I can accomplish it. So I put it on the back burner, right? I push it off to the side. And as I'm seeing that, I'm realizing that that's exactly where the devil wants me to get to. He wants me to see, well, let me just focus on life and not even worry about these dreams. He doesn't want me to focus on that. And so as I'm like pursuing this with God and reading the Bible, I realize, you know, it says in the Bible that we're supposed to come to him as children. Let me tell you, I've got three boys. They dream big. If we had everything my boys dreamed, we'd have a dragon, we'd have a dinosaur, we'd have, you know, we'd have a big house, and we'd have all we'd eat was candy, chicken nuggets, and french fries. That would be the dream. That's their dream, right? And so they dream big, and they don't understand limitations, right? They don't understand that the reality they live in is limited to what we can provide, or, you know, it's not in their mindset of that's how everything functions. And so God's called us to come to him like that, right? To come to him that he's the provider, that he's the individual who, no matter what, he can accomplish it. And so as I was praying about it and talking to God, I'm like, well, what happens? What happens along the way? I got distracted. And God kind of spoke to me and said that we lose that hope for the dream, right? And in the Bible it says, hope deferred makes the heart sick, right? So basically what happens is I have these desires on my heart. I have these dreams and visions and all this stuff in my life. And then as I continue through, the devil, and you know what God spoke to me is the devil can't touch the plans of God. Like, you know, it says that God takes the enemy's plans and turns them for good. Well, it doesn't go reverse, right? And so, but what he can attack is the view I have of that and the hope I have that God's going to, he attacks the way I see God and the way I see that he's faithful and that he's going to accomplish, and what God says will come to pass, right? Like God said, Florida Gators are going to win the national championship. Just kidding, guys, just kidding. But so, but he can't touch that, right? And so he attacks this. And as we walk this, I started seeing it in my life, right? I started seeing that I had all these dreams, and over time, little chips of that, and it felt like I felt like that hope was just slipping through my fingers and I couldn't do anything about it. Like I just felt so hopeless. I felt like dreams that I had were just left on the wayside and that they weren't going to get accomplished. Like I said, I have dreams that we're going to touch kids' lives, impact youth, and we're going to see a revival in the youth, right? I believe that's going to happen, but you know what? It's sometimes hard whenever we have only 10 youth in the youth group. I'm looking around and I'm not seeing, like, I know God's called me to this place, but I'm not seeing results of where I believe we're supposed to be. And so slowly but surely that hope, like, feels like it's slipping away in that, right? And especially family members. Family members is tough because, like, I see them constantly. I feel like God's called me to continue to pray for them, but the hope's just not there. And so as I was praying to God and talking to him about it, he really spoke to me on it's about perspective and how I see, and I get back to how I see him, right? I love in 2 Kings 6, 8 through 12, it tells this story how Elijah, basically what's happening is Elijah's a prophet and he's, there's a fight going on and he's telling Israel what the enemy's going to do. He's God's speaking to him and showing him and sharing what the enemy's doing in their meetings and in behind lines and their discussion and their plan. And so they're trying, the king, I love love the enemy. He's like, which one of y'all have told the Israelites what's going on, man? One of y'all snitching on me, you know? Immediately goes to that, and they're like, well, it's Elijah, man. He's over there telling them what's going on. So they send an army to go get Elijah. And it says that a guy comes out of the tent or something, you know, comes out and goes, oh, he sees all the armies and they're surrounded. And he goes back to Elijah and goes, hey, man, we are surrounded. We are going to, like, hope's gone. You know, hope is out the window that we're going to make it out of this. Like, we've got hundreds of people around us. We are not making it out of this. God's left us to die, you know. And so I love the way he talked to him. It says, and Elijah prayed, open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see. And then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he was able to see that there was the angel's army. There was people around protecting, right? You know, that's so much in my life. Like, I see the circumstances. I see the consequences of people's actions. I see all this stuff, and sometimes I forget how big of a God I serve. And that, you know, it doesn't make sense, but at the end of the day, that I've never seen God to where, like, I've never heard of a bill or something that God doesn't have funds for, right? Like, God's has it all, right? He has everything we could imagine and then some. And that's where they were at, right? And so he opens his eyes, he sees what's happening and what's really happening, and he's allowed to enter back into that, and he has hope, right? He has hope again. And so, like, as I was talking, like, in probably even the last, like, month, you know, I felt like God, like, I was at a place to where it just felt really hopeless. Like, it felt hopeless. And I've shared this before, and God's, like, been working with me on having hope and believing and stuff. But really, I felt like that race highlighted something. It showed me that, you know, I have dreams in my life, and I don't have hope for that. And there's people in my life who have dreams, and I'm not encouraging that, right? And so in my life, I was like, God, like, I started recognizing that. And so I feel the call, like, I feel a dream of mine and a vision and stuff. I want to teach. I want to preach. I want to share. I want to have impact in people's lives. Like, I want to use what God shared with me and use my voice to share it with others and to release callings and destinies in their lives. And so what I found was that over time, I saw it a lot at work, is I just stopped talking to, like, sharing and telling people stuff. And I just got real quiet. And it was, I knew there was stuff that I was supposed to say, but it was, like, almost impossible to say it. Like, I could not bring, I knew it was the right thing. I knew that it was supposed to be shared, and I just could not say it. And not even stuff about, like, Jesus and the Bible and relationship with God, but just day-to-day work stuff, like, that I had a knowledge base, I just could not share it. And so this had been going on for probably forever. I think, like, years and years and years. It just got to a point where I was literally, it was impossible to say anything. And so as I'm doing that, it increased over, you know, the first part of this year. And my amazing wife, she's like, hey, something's off, man. And whenever she says that, like, she's taking the time, of course, let me correct, she said it in such a loving and amazing way. I'm like, hey, you got a problem. You know, that's not the way she said it. She brought it in such an amazing way. I'm like, you're right. You know, she's always got, like, such a soft hand to help me out and brings amazing revelation. So I am gifted, guys. Blessed. So she came to me and told me, hey, something's going on. You probably need to sit down and talk to God about this. You aren't speaking when you need to speak. And it's like, it used to put me in such almost anxiety just to even say anything. And so I sit down with God, and he takes me to this place when I was really young, actually. And I remember, hard to believe, I got in trouble a lot as a child. And so, constantly, you know, spankings and talkings were constant in my life. My mom, this is a funny story, my mom called my dad. My dad was off getting trained for work for, I think, like almost a summer or a month. I can't remember. They never told me the exact, but she called one summer and said, "Shane, spankings are just not working." And that was me. She was talking about me. She said, "Spankings aren't working. Talking to them's not working. I don't know what's going on, but I survived." Okay. If you have a kid that's just wild, which I've got three boys that, like, you know, they'll be cuddling with me, and then all of a sudden I'll just catch a flying elbow off the couch, you know, to the back. You know, if you got some active kids, awesome. That's what we want here, right? Because God's got a plan and a destiny for their life. And no matter what's going on, that as long as we hold on to that, we're going to see them walk it out, right? I believe it. You know, I living testimony right here. I don't know how many times people said growing up that I need to go into some programs, I need to be on certain medications, I need to do all this stuff. Mom believed that she could walk with God in this, right? And so she chose to believe the callings and destinies on my life. And I'm here today the way I am because she believed that. And so that's just some encouragement to all moms and dads. You know, my kids are fairly young, but like I can speak from experience for myself. And so back to the story. So I went and sat down with God, sat down for about an hour. And he took me to this place of growing up. I'd get in trouble a lot, and so I'd be asked why I did stuff. And I just remember just feeling all this shame and guilt for stuff I'd done. And it was like, you know, I broke a lot of windows, and I didn't listen. And so I could remember the exact place that I decided to believe a lie about something. I decided that, you know what, I'm just going to be quiet, not say anything, and I can't do anything about it. Which as a kid, you just get more spankings. Like, you know, looking at it now, but like, so from then on, like, I remember just, I would stare at the floor and not talk. I wouldn't say a word. And they'd be like, "You're going to sit here until you talk." And I'd sit there for like an hour, and then they'd let me get up. And in my mind, it worked, right? But what really happened is it spoke something to me that what I had to say didn't matter. And what in me bringing my part to this situation, it didn't matter what I had to say. And so just be quiet, don't say anything, and move on. And so I was like, oh, that explains why I can't say anything in normal circumstances, right? And so I was praying to God about it, and I was like, you know, and we do, Pastor Allen does freedom prayer here. And so I just kind of walked the steps of freedom prayer. And so I sat there and I said, and then also Miss Shauna Burns does some exercises that are really good with it too. But so I just sat there with God, and I want to experience. I remember the exact place. I could almost feel the chair I used to sit in. And as I'm sitting there, I just like, God, I invite you to this place where I believe this. And I want to hear, because I want to hear what you have to say. I want to hear your voice. I want to hear your opinion on this topic. And so I remember sitting there and just, you know, staring at the ground. And I almost, it's wild, like I don't really get these that often, but I had a picture of him just grabbing my face, raising me like I do with my boys, just did it today, but grabbed their face and look them in the eyes. And he said, what you have to say matters. And what you have to say brings power. And so, like, I've created you to speak into people's lives, to be a leader. And so I'm going to teach you how to do that. And, you know, he spoke, and it was him speaking to me as a little kid, and he said, it might seem like a small thing to share what you're thinking, but when you get older, it's going to make a difference. And so, and then something, the most powerful thing, I always get emotional up here. Someday I'm going to come up here and teach, and She's going to be laughing the whole time, but not today. But I felt him say to me, I could hear it. He said, Tyler, as I teach you how to do this, I'm going to teach you to walk on your fears. I'm going to teach you how to see what you're afraid of, see that you're afraid of what people have to say or sharing your opinion. I'm going to walk you out on it, and you're going to walk in power. And immediately I felt such a burden lift off me. And immediately the pressure to have to say something left, and now it's replaced by a thing of, like, I have something to say, and believing that I have something to say, right? And so the big thing about our dreams is that we have to get to that place of hope again, right? Let me tell you, I have dreams about this place. I have dreams of having a full church, of seeing God move powerfully in this church, and God doing great and mighty things in the city because of us being here. And how that happens is not by all Tyler doing everything. How it happens is that y'all start walking in your dreams and callings and destinies. One of our most successful things that we do here is family night, as we've talked about, and it's successful because y'all's groups make a difference, right? Your small groups, our kids groups, the youth group, all that makes a difference. I hear so many stories about y'all's family groups, of what y'all get to talk about and what y'all get to do, and the power and just how much impact you're having on in relationships is amazing. And so how do we get there? We got to believe that what you do matters, right? Let me tell you, and that was something that took me years to get to, right? I've been a part of this church, like I said, for a long time, almost longer than I have not. And walking out this reality of understanding that I have a purpose and what I have to say matters. And let me tell you, in the world, like I said, I'm a fireman. We do ambulance service in Jacksonville. I see so many broken people. Like, the amount of people that are just absolutely broken, and the amount of people that are hopeless that they're ever going to accomplish anything, or hopeless that they're ever going to get out of this pain, this addiction, this frustration. The amount of broken families that have gone into, broken marriages. And let me tell you, when I walk in here, I see the answer. The answer is y'all, right? The answer to people's brokenness is seeing, like, God doesn't want us just to stay at one place. He wants us to have widespread impact. And so there's people in here who have marriages that people would do anything just to be around, so that they could learn. There's people who know finances so well that these broken people need it, right? And so we have so much gifting and talent here, but at times I think we get to that place where we just feel like it just doesn't really matter, right? It doesn't matter if I say something. And so I think that my encouragement, what I wanted to accomplish today, is I wanted to encourage y'all. I wanted to encourage y'all to dream and have hope. Let me tell you, like I said, there's never been a bill that I haven't seen God have funds for. There's not a problem that He doesn't have a solution. And then I've countless times seen God take broken things and not just fix them, because let me tell you, I've broken a lot of things over my life and tried to fix them. They don't look the same, right? But what God does is He restores it to new. And so, and not just new, I've never seen a situation where God restores it to the same level. If it's always better, right? It's always an improvement. And so that's what God is for you. And that's who He is and who He is to you. And so what I encourage y'all to do is to believe that those dreams on your heart, if you're called to help with, children, if you're called to help with, have mentor men or be a part of a small group or even just help clean, like we've talked about, like, go after it. Go after your dreams. I think that's the biggest thing I've learned this year, is that I don't want to not pursue the dreams of God in my life. I don't want to just sit back. I think I sat back for a long period of my life, and I'm just not content with that anymore. You know, so I'm choosing, one, to believe that He has stuff for me, and that He's a good dad. Let me tell you, when my boys come up to me and go, "Dad, can we have chicken nuggets and French fries today, please?" And they're all three like giving me hugs. Let me tell you, it's hard not to do. Let's go get chicken nuggets, boys, you know? And that's like the good, I want my boys to like have the desires of their heart. Now, sometimes they're like, "I want to hurt my brother." No, we stop there, right? But we're just, that's what God wants. God wants you, those desires and those promises and dreams and visions fulfilled. And so I'm just not satisfied with that anymore. I'm not satisfied with the answer that's off for another period of time or that's out of my reach. Because like I look at the Bible and I see David. David was in a time that, you know, they didn't have intimate relationship with God. Like constantly, they didn't, and he pursued it. It said in a lot of books that I've read that David pursued something that was out of his reach, but because of his heart and his desire, God brought it to him, right? And so I want to be told no. I want to be told, hey, direct this way. I want direction. I want this stuff because I'm just not satisfied I'm not satisfied where I'm at. I want to go deeper. I want to understand God's will. I want dreams fulfilled. And I see too much brokenness not to. I see too many people who've given up, and I can say this, given up on their dreams and said, "Oh, well, I'm just going to live life." And that is not where we're called to be, right? That is not who I'm called to be. I'm called to be someone who makes a change and a difference. And so if I truly believe that what I say matters, if I truly believe that God's a good God who gives me dreams, visions for a purpose and a reason, then it makes no sense to me not to chase after that. And so today I feel like, I guess activation-wise, what I would like is what I want you to do this week, very important, what I want you to do this week is I just want you to sit down with God and see where you're at with your dreams. Are you at the point that you have said, "Oh, well, I'm not going to accomplish them"? Or are you at the point where you just feel that hope slipping? Or even are you at the point that you have hope for the dream, but it just feels so far away? What I want you to do this week is I want you to sit down and see where you're at. And from there, I want you to sit down with God and let Him speak to you. God wants to speak to you about your dreams. God wants to speak to you about your direction in your life. He's just wanting an invitation. He wants you to be there. He wants you to invite Him. And so that would, I guess, be my big, big application, big thing for y'all to do this week. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray for us. And after I get done with praying, we're going to be released, unless Pastor Allen has something to say. Yeah, something? Okay. And then one challenge for today I would like, go find somebody. You know, like I said, the second part's encouraging. Go find somebody. Talk to somebody. Let me tell you, the hardest parts of my life, when people that I valued and had friendships with, when they came up and talked to me and just we had some time just to connect, it was awesome. Like, that helped, right? That got me to that place. And so I'm going to pray for us real quick. You're good. I'm going to pray for us real quick, and then Pastor Allen, I'm going to hand over to Pastor Allen. So, dear God, I thank You for this amazing group of people I just get to serve and serve with, Lord. I thank You for all the dreams. As I'm praying over, I just see thousands of dreams for these individuals, and just I see God getting excited, like my kids when I tell them they can have chicken nuggets. He is dancing, just ready to encounter You in these dreams. He has a big bag. He wants to bring hope. He wants to bring new dreams, and He wants to release people into callings and destinies, Lord. So I just thank You for this amazing group, and I thank You for just who You've placed in our lives, and just ask that as we do this, we just release Your presence. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Tyler. Thank you, Tyler. Let's all stand up. I have a whole page full of notes that are this needs to be activated in our lives, guys. This will make a difference in your life. It really would. So I'd pay real close attention to what Tyler said this morning. You know, there's something about that. I think most of us struggle with that in our lives. It doesn't matter what I say. Why would I want to talk to them? None of that won't change anything. That's the devil. That's his plan, is to shut the body of Christ up. And, you know, like Wednesday night, we have family night. That's where we break into small groups. Tyler described it. It's powerful because I've been in those groups, and they're amazing. Guys, I'm telling you, your life will be encouraged. Your life will be changed when you do that. But, you know, there's something God requires out of us. Like, even here this morning, as many people as are in this room, if you came and you had an ear that said, listen, God's spoken to you today. Because he responds to when you respond. So this morning, you need to ask the Lord, Lord, do I struggle with that? Do I not talk to people? Listen, we will invite people to come to family night. We provide a meal. We talked last week about that. That I don't know what's going to happen with that right now. But right now, there's free meal Wednesday night, 6 p.m. Oh, did I say that right? Okay, 6. So I get confused on 6:30, 6 o'clock. But guys, I just want to encourage you. You get what you hope for. Look for God today and you'll get God. Look for encouragement today, you'll be encouraged. God's going to do what you look for. He's going to speak to what your ear is tuned to. So guys, what's God saying to you? Do you struggle with this? Jesus wants to come and show up. He wants to speak to you the same way he spoke to Tyler. I appreciate your honesty, Tyler, and transparency. Yeah, everyone struggles. But Jesus comes through and he turns our ashes into beauty. He turns the world upside down for us. So this morning, if you, I'm going to have prayer teams up here that want to pray with you. Do your homework this week. I'm like, that's quite an assignment, Tyler. See where you are with your dreams. Don't accept blah. That's not who you were created to be. You weren't created to be blah. You were created with a purpose and a destiny. So this morning, if you would like to pray with somebody, we have teams up here. Look forward to seeing you Wednesday night. We'll sit down and eat together. We'll laugh and we'll watch the kids act crazy. And we break up into small groups and you men's groups, women's groups. We have couples groups, whatever you want to do. And it'll make a difference in your life. It really will make a difference. So let's pray, and we're going to go. Father, I thank you for everyone today that served, for everything that's happened here this morning. And Jesus, we just welcome you into our lives. Jesus, we want your input. We want your words, your thoughts. We want to do life with you, God. So God, I just thank you. Thank you for Tyler and Shelby and the boys and their families, God, and what they're doing in their lives right now. Amen. God bless you guys. Thank you for being here this morning.